This is Thursday, October the 18th, and Tom Fuller is back with us, and we're going to be continuing our discussions.
We're looking at the map on the wall, on the east wall here, and Tom's describing the lookout point for the Huron Indians. Maybe we could talk.
This was at Fraser's Creek,
yes.
or maybe better known as the North Branch. It was in the east-south corner of the Fraser Creek as it came into the canal. There's a hill there, and that hill was always vacant of trees ever since the white man can remember. Now, Lord Simcoe had a camp here on Fraser Creek someplace, and I don't think anybody has really designated the exact spot where it was.
So when he came in that time, he met with the Indians.
Okay, I have a suspicion. The only place you can grow stuff is right along in here, where Orleans is growing stuff today in that area. And I think that was, and he marked it on his map as Indian Gardens. And I think that's the first recognized Indian Gardens in Simcoe County, other than the corn gardens that were up in Huronia, that were at Cahaway and those places. Outside of Cornwall.
You call them Indian gardens, but they would have cleared some land and grown corn, squash,
yeah.
Sunflowers,
and beans. Okay. The three sisters, squash and beans and corn. They watched out from here. This was straight across from Carrying Place. They kept their eye open for people coming up. And then when they would come across, they would go up here, they would go across, they would go on up through, right up through to the hollow, right up. But then there was a switch over up in probably about here someplace where they were.
Oh, just a sec, Tom. Just a sec, Tom. Tom's drawn a line that goes up on the follows the North Branch up through across through the sixth line up across 88, goes up through there, it's almost straight up parallel to 10th Side Road.
Up towards the Hollows.
So you get up to the Hollows.
Okay, then there was a branch over down in here that went up through by Bonhead and caught this branch of the Nottawasaga, if they wanted to go up.
So that goes up, comes up to
about
the fourth line,
yeah.
Cuts across Kitty Corner to Bonhead,
yeah.
And then picks up the branch of the Nottawasaga, which is just to the north edge of Bonhead.
Right.
And then you can follow that through up.
Right. So this went up, skirted around the hollows, and went straight on through north up to Churchill, and then right on through
Barrier. I was asking the other day, have you ever heard of a trail that followed along this ridge?
Oh, well, that's an old original there. Like, when we were young lads, we always used to trap that and walk that same trail that you're talking about. And I think it was probably used for years and years and years. But there was the bridge that went across here, too, yeah.
Was there?
Oh, yes. You want to go someday? I'll show you where it was. The piles are still in there and so on. The bridge came down across here, out here to the line. So what? There's a road allowance right in there.
Sure. Well, the extension of the fourth line. The
yes.
Fourth line comes right
exactly.
Through. The extension of the fourth line comes
yeah.
Right through there. And there was a bridge there once.
Yes, sir. When I was a young lad and Ross Melbourne and I were trapping together, we used to go up into there and trap in that area. The pilings were still there, some of the planks were still on the top and so on. And I think you might find an odd piling left there yet, maybe one or two. But it was quite high up, and it was up and out of the bridge.
Well then, did you know, were there any trails here north of Bradford?
Well, no, unless I think Young Street probably was as close as you would get to it. Because it sure wouldn't go into the marsh. We know
that. No, but there is like, if you look at the here, just a second, let's look at this map here, so we can see it better on this one. See, this one is, see, here's where we're talking about, there's the third line, see how it's called it, the fourth line, the third line. So what you're talking about is there's a bridge right about here.
Right on. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, then there's, when you fall, and I didn't bring down the contour map, but if you look at the contour map, there's quite a ridge.
That's exactly right.
And then it goes right into Bradford.
Yeah.
And then there's a height of land. It isn't near, but it's right about the 20s, if you were to call it, right, could follow along something like that.
Well, I think that was the old Bradford that burnt out, went up through DeSette Street and up that way. That would probably be the Indian Trail and so on. I found an odd artifact up in that area, by the way.
Because they definitely,
I think it went from there on.
They definitely were around, because DeSette's mentioned in their early history of the fact that they had contact with them.
Oh, yeah. At the bottom of the 8th line, across the railroad, down the cedar bush there were Indians in there when they're putting the railroad through, I hear. And they used to do an encampment there, and they used to make baskets and stuff for the people and sell them and so on. But they had an encampment down in there.
Well, Mrs.
Where it's all gravel, and they took a lot of gravel out of there afterwards, you know.
And Mrs. Mills over at Duncairn, she talks about the fact that the Indian folk used to be over in there and making, as you say, making baskets and that,
yeah.
And they would come around and sell these baskets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever run across any, like there's an archaeological site up at Bosenworth, up on the 12th line, which is...
I picked up enough artifacts to set up a display, you might say, at Barry, at the museum. I don't know how many pieces I got. A lot of them, I tell you. One heck of a lot. I put them in there when they first opened the museum, and the little short gentleman that was the custodian, or whatever you want to call them, Ross Shannon was his name. I gave him a lot of stuff. Gorgets that they hung around their neck, axe, adzes, arrowheads, spearhead, beautiful spearheads, all fantastic stuff. All up around the hollows, in, as I said, in that north-south trail area, you know.
So when they went into the hollows...
But there are still places up around the hollows where I could show you where there still were camps. Because there was charcoal and everything set there, and I found parts of pottery in those places also.
Whereabouts do you think the trail would have gone through the hollows? Would it be on the 10th line or on the 10th side road?
10th side road, up from here, across the 10th side road on an angle, more or less, and on up through to the edge of the hollows at the top. They wouldn't go down into the hollows, because that's right into the Cookstown Swamp deal and everything else. It'd be crazy to go down in there, you know what I mean? So they stay right on that top, and that goes right around through the old Mooney farm, right over through to where Art Wright has his place, and yeah. Eric Wright's, right straight north
so
from
there. So they didn't go down in the hollows? They stayed up and skirted on the edge.
Along and up, right through, and took them direct right up to where they wanted to go, up towards Kempenfelt Bay or Barry area, or whatever you want to call it.
And that would, and then of course that trail had a connection to the carrying place too.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Right across the river. Yeah. It's too bad somebody couldn't go, an artist, go down there, go back out in the marsh, just where they would disembark from their canoes to go south into carrying place. Sit there and take a contour picture of the hills in the background with the tamaracks all growing out and a trail going through the marsh grass and so on, which could be easily found in this area yet if they want to draw it, you know, and then have all these Indians portaging through with their canoes and dump lines and everything else going through and up to go up through the carrying place. That would make a great picture, great historical picture.
We had back a year or so ago, we had a real attempt to try and see if we could get a story from the First Nations people, but they just wouldn't talk to us at all, wouldn't say anything. Do they not know their history?
No. They know what's handed down from their elders about their tribe and so on, but not too much, no. It's very sad, to be very frank with you, but they're certainly picking it up nowadays a lot better, which is very, very, very good in my mind. It's fantastic.
There's a chap by the name of Bob Crawford. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes, I know Bob, yeah.
He just told me much to get lost.
Oh, it's too bad. I wish I was talking to him. I'd have put a bee in his bonnet.
But I mean, what it means is that we have to, we want to mention the fact that there, you know, the First Nation people are here.
Well, he knows that. In fact, that North-South Trail goes very close up in front of his house, where his house is, right up there. You know?
Yeah.
He's not very well, I hear.
I don't know.
Yeah, I heard he wasn't doing too good.
So, okay, all right. Well, I don't think... Was the Bingham Hotel, was it the one on the corner here?
Well, there was one where the Dows lived at the bottom of the hill here, right? On the other side.
That was the Bingham Hotel?
I kind of think so. Then there's this one next door here,
and
then there was the next one was the two on the main corner, one on one side, one on the other side, and then that one there, and then the one up the hill where McGanny lived for a while, mm-hmm. Joe, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they talk of, like, the Edmondson Hotel was considered to be the earliest motel in Bradford. Mm-hmm. Edmondson?
Yeah.
Now, is that the house across?
Webster, probably, would it be, or the one down the bottom of the hill? I think the one at the bottom of the hill where Dow's lived.
Well, this is Edmondson, just the other side across the street here.
Yeah. Okay, that's it
now,
then.
But Edmondson, did he build a hotel at the corner?
I have no idea.
Well, you know, you read the history, and it doesn't always jibe. Mm-hmm. You know, people.
You know what I'm looking at? I'm looking at this here,
mm-hmm.
And this is a joke. I'm going to tell you a joke. My best buddy, as I told Gord Eccles from
yeah.
Newmarket,
yeah.
He went through severe radical prostrate operation. Everything. They opened him right up, and everything back and front, and then they took out everything. You know. Then later on, about three or four, right up until now, he had blockage in his penis and everything, couldn't make water and so on, so they opened it all up and they scraped it out and so on. Then they sewed it up. And all up the top of his penis, he had this stuff. He said, "Tom, you should see what I got." I said, "What's that, Gordy?" He said, "I got a frilly dilly," he said. Oh, my God, I said, "Gord."
Well, I'll have to go over tomorrow morning.
Yeah, they'll pull them out.
What that was,
a bag of wheat over his saddle, take it to Newmarket, get equivalent in flour, and come back to the river here. And he used to pay the 10 cents it took for to get across on the barge.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't get the flour wet, him and the horse.
Mm-hmm.
But
with Tom Fuller, this is on Thursday, December the 18th, and we're continuing our discussions about the layout at Amsterdam. Okay, Tom, let's go back on that. You're mentioning there that about there being
there were two boats, were two steamboats that went up into Lake Simcoe. One was named what? Do you remember?
Oh, I've seen a record.
The two names, anyway.
One was the Autonomy.
Autonomy, I think, and another one.
But that's not, the other, it's not, the one that sank is another name.
Yes, Autonomy. Anyway, it sank somewhere else, though, didn't it?
Right.
And they parked it right there beside the, on the north side of the railroad bridge, right at the dock at Bradford there.
On the east side.
On the east side, yeah, where the dock is. And just left it there until it demised right in that spot, and that's it, and it's sunk, and it's still down there, whatever's left of it.
I see. What was the dock,
dock facility has changed quite a bit over the years, hasn't it?
Yes.
It used to be quite a bit larger than it is now?
It used to be kind of small in the old days, and then my father and Dan Collins hauled gravel for pretty nearly all one summer, and they were paid by the government for to fill in at that dock. So they filled it all in, built it up, that the road going right down to the dock with the gravel and so on. And I don't know whatever happened to it, whether somebody bought it out or changed hands, or was it still a government dock, or what's going on.
Well, was there a wooden platform there?
Yeah.
There's no wooden platform now. It's all just a concrete slip.
Yeah.
But there was a wooden platform there at one time, wasn't there?
Oh, yes. Oh, heaven, yeah, with tie rings and everything else on it, yeah.
And were there any boathouses there too?
Well, there was one big boathouse to the north there, yeah. And then Varley had the ones back up in the other place, the marina.
I can remember there were some boathouses on the west side too.
But of course, that was all sawmill country, sawmills in the old days back up in there. Where Varley is and all that. That was a big, huge, big sawmill back up in there.
Have you ever heard anything about there being a big barn out to the associated with those sawmills?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that.
Phil was telling me one time there was a big barn. Used to sit out there north of where that white house is. And they used to keep horses in, quite a few horses in there.
I wouldn't doubt that, yeah.
But, I guess those sawmills were all finished up by the early 1900s.
Yeah. Didn't take them long to log out the edges of Lake Simcoe as far back as you could get to make it economical and so on. White pine must have been beautiful.
Did you ever work on Marsh Lake?
No, Father did, but as you know, you've got his. Yeah. Only thing I ever found pertaining to that, I was out in the marsh one time and I found one of the horse boots that they had. And I just looked at it and thought, oh, that's quite quaint, you know, and threw it back down again and walked away and left it there. Yeah.
You kind of wish you had it.
No, right on. There was a metal strap thing around it, kind of, yeah.
Joe Saint had one.
Yeah.
And we don't know what happened to it, whether it
went west or what.
Whether the granddaughter, I didn't realize that they had a sale.
Oh my goodness.
Joe's treasures here back about a month or so ago.
Oh.
I never knew that they did it.
That's too bad.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you miss out on some of these good things that are around, you know, it's too bad. My father had a sale at his house, and he had an old trunk upstairs that was my uncle's, a sea captain. And it was all black on the outside with a steel band up around it, and the handles were folded in. As soon as you lifted up the lid, though, here it was all Honduras mahogany. Red, 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 beautiful looking thing, I tell you. And it had all the trays in it and everything else. And I thought, you know, maybe I would buy that for myself or whatever. But as soon as it went out on auction, and the antique dealers got a spot of it, well, I didn't even stand a chance, you know. It was a game over. And I didn't want father to, or mother to be shy on the money from it, you know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway, and then the antique dealer says, I said, my God, that's a beautiful trunk. I said, I always admired that all my life and so on. And he says to me, yeah, but that isn't it. You want to see that in about another month from now, he says, when I get finished with it. He says, I've got all the documented history on it and the name that's on it. We'll leave that there and everything else. Captain Fuller, you know, and so on. And he said, this would be quite the thing. Have the documentation all in, put inside and everything. And I thought to myself, oh yeah.
Well, and then, of course, the thing is, it should mean a lot more to you than
it did.
Than it did to him. But anyway, that's how I. It's the same thing with so many other things. You go to a sale with
good intentions.
No,
and a little bit of money.
No, but you go to a sale, and you pretty soon identify the dealers because the auctioneer knows who they are, and he just turns to them and says, "Will you give me $5? Yeah, I have $5 for you to go." You know?
But when it gets up to big stuff, he looks at Joe, and he looks at Sam, and he looks at Sam. Usually between two or three or four of them, eh?
Yeah, and they know the stuff. What about one of the questions that we didn't really get into there the other day too much on the marsh? It had to do with the rise and the fall of the whole river gardens and that everything. Did they go out basically because they were not associated with the aquarium? I thought they were associated with the community storage, were they? Or did they?
Yeah, well, it's they had a place down south. They had a place in eastern Canada. Down around Ottawa and down that way, you have places over here and so on. I think they maybe got a little overextended, and then the times were a little tough. It was just, you know, more than they wanted to do. And then, of course, George got sick, you know, and Dees was involved in it. I don't know.
Was Federal Farm, Federal Farm, was it? Who was behind Federal Farm? Who was the driving force on Federal Farm?
You had two Jewish gentlemen that were looking at that. Yeah. And two brothers. Yeah. And same thing. As I told you before, what my father predicted was going to happen to all the businesses, which it did. He had that pegged from way back. He could visualize, he had futures. You know, what was going to happen and so on. Yeah, you didn't fool them too much on that.
So, on the marsh today, you have the people who sell to the dealers who are in Bradford now. They're no longer here, but there's the brothers up on the ninth, the Jack's up on the ninth, mm-hmm. and then there's two or three here, the brothers up here on the set street,
Dominion and the co-op. Deal.
But then you have, I suppose, we have some growers themselves who are grower packers too. Wolfert.
Wolfert's are, yeah, and who else? Not many others around this area. Of course, Hollatz and the boys, and the boys are out Springdale.
Okay.
Yeah, the Thanks. Springdale boys out there, all them. They're grower packers.
No,
the only contract they ever really had for growing stuff was that was with the soup companies for celery and stuff like that. That's about all, really. You were asking me about that before, were there any contracts? And that was just probably celery deal and so on, because you had to sell to them day by day practically, mm-hmm. and then they had a combine to combine it. You've seen it working, have you?
Yeah.
Which just cuts the celery all up, blows the leaves away, and all you're left is with stems to for them to incorporate into their canning business, whatever they wanted, for soups or whatever.
Do you know, is there anybody on the marsh who has a historical museum of old marsh?
No, but there are a lot of fellows that keep the stuff around, you know, little bits here, a little bit there. The old wheel hose and rotary hose and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
There's a chap that we named it, you know, Gaetano Salvatore.
Could be.
You know him?
No.
He's down in the marsh, look down in here. He's on the West Woodbury side.
Yeah.
He's down over here.
I think I know who you're talking about.
But what we were just wondering if there was anybody, what we'd like to do, what we'd like to do is, you know, get some pictures.
Yeah, that'd be nice, yeah.
So just keep your eyes and your ears open, and if you run across anybody that has something, well, and I guess the other thing is, what should we put in, like, you know, what, like, there, some things were basic tools that were there, that we used for a long time.
One basic tool that we used to use, I've got signed on one at home, is the old sheep shears that we used to cut all the onions with. Top the onions. I still got a pair of them in my basement that we used. Oh, gosh. Many a time they've been open and closed.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
and they were sharp.
Yeah. And sharp, and you could turn them.
they did a good job, but boy, your hand actually would swell up the first two or three days.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you try to do it with the other hand.
Hand,
it wouldn't work.
But then along came the toppers and so on. Charlie Fell's topper. Put them all in bushels and then take them over to one spot and off the wagon and dump them through the topper and come up the bottom end already topped, you see. Keep your hands away from it.
Did you ever have any experience with getting the tractor stuck in stuck in the marsh?
Oh yeah, an odd time, sure. Oh yeah, yeah. I laughed one time. I had a driver that come down from Smart's in Collingwood, and we went out on the marsh and got a load of onions. And I said to him, he said, "I'm not going out there." I said, "Yeah, there's no problem going out there as long as we put this part load on, and you put it in your low gear, and you keep it in low until you get right up onto the roadway where it's solid ground." And I said, "Don't change gears." So he put the load on, and he got about halfway out, and oh, it was flying right along great. And what did you do? Change gears. What happened? She went down, boom, right to the bed, you know, flat. We had to unload them, get the tractor, hock them out, load everything back on again, take them away. So that was fine. About 4 or 5 years later, there was an old gentleman who was driving the truck. He come down and he was to get another load. He got other loads from us in between, but different places. So I said to him, "Well, we'll go out and get part load." He says, I was out down here one time and some guy, he said, took me out there, and he says, "I got stuck and everything else." He said, "It was terrible." And I said, "Yeah," and the guy happened to be me, and I said, "You know why? Because you didn't do it, you're damn well told," I said, "you didn't keep right on going." Because you can, you know, you keep going, you're okay, you're climbing a hill all the time, but it's respect, I said.
Well, it's a...
Our drivers that we had for us that went down in there and got loads like that, they never ever got stuck. So they knew, you know, you couldn't do that. You can't change gears.
Was the canal bank a road all the time, you remember?
No, no. Oh, heavens no. No way. Just a cow trail, like, you know.
Did you ever...
Berries, pick berries with my mother.
Well, of course, yeah, sorry. Well, you were down in here. You were never over on this side over here, though, where the weather road. Like, for example, here's, I'll show you. Here's one road here. This is where the Bacchus went. See that trail?
Yeah.
See that trail comes up there?
Mm-hmm.
That was how they got their produce out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over here on this side, there's another one right here.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up through here.
That's your Jones property?
No, this is
Wilson.
Wilson's. There was maybe somebody before that. You see the trail right up there, and they came back up, came up the lane.
Yeah.
They came up the lane to get up there on the fourth one.
Yeah.
That was the trail. That's the trail. And I know
that's quite a hill for the climb.
Yeah.
How'd they get up?
Well, they used to get up. Well,
that's huge hills right there.
Gordy Church mentioned that because he was Dave Paul Bacon down there.
Well, don't forget.
And then they load projects.
Don't forget that. Did they have anything of the fourth going along here at all?
No, the fourth is.
I mean, this is what do they call it? What was that? It went down here and across the...
Well, this is the third here.
The third?
But there's nothing
that the
we run out. But this is still... See, there's the fourth right there.
Yeah.
In this woods.
Yeah, that's right.
Road up here.
That's right.
Well, they, there's the farm lane.
That runs in kind of a northwest angle.
There's the farm lane, right there. Mm-hmm. So they just come back up to here.
Then we used to come down through Doan's property and out. Yeah. Yeah, down and down. And this was, there was nothing this way and there nothing that way except for at Young Street here. And if Ferris had the land in there, they had that cleaned up.
See, here's,
anyway.
Here's the bridge here. See this road here?
Yeah.
Here? Mm-hmm. That was where Dave Sutherland had a bridge across mm-hmm. there. He used to haul mm-hmm. gravel over the gravel.
Yeah, I remember that.
Use it.
I remember when they put the new bridge in for the haul of gravel over. Yeah.
How did they make a new road with the on the marsh? How did they
Well, it was all hauled out of Dave's pit.
Oh, how did they level it? How did they, it was all humps and hollows and stuff, but how did they level it?
Bulldozers.
Just bulldozers. Yeah. They have the mm-hmm. So this would be after this would be in the 40s or something. Like after the
yeah, I remember them hauling there, like they hauled them there. A couple of trucks went off the edge of that bridge and so on, broke through it.
Yeah, well, there's
finally
a, there's
they
a
got
chap,
rid of
a chap from Bond Head was from Bond, Bradley was drowned down here.
Yeah.
The truck went through the bridge.
Yeah. Well.
Well,